live from Los Angeles. This is The Bachelor Masters. I suppose we have to undo the ban from last week on talking about the guys. Otherwise, we wouldn't really have anything to talk about. Although part of that ban that I imposed last week was because I wanted to focus on Hannah, which I think we did, and keep away from the trap that is going down to the guys' level of arguing with each other. But the thing is, you've pointed out many times, EZR, that the guys collectively gang up on Luke, and which is troubling because he's an easy target. But this episode changes the parameters, I think. If what we're given by the editors of Luke is to be taken at face value, the things he did and said today are indefensible. And we need to talk about that.
Okay, that's your premise. My premise is we just saw the exact same episode again as we did last week and kind of the week before, too. We're kind of stuck here because he's the only one providing drama, in a way, according to the producers, I guess. But I have found how to defend him. I'm going to have the exact same stance as I've had the last 3 weeks. Not to sound like a broken record, I have new takes on it. I think he's a gray character. I don't think he's a black and white character.
Okay, it's one thing to go along six episodes and say stupid things he's saying and to forget what he said and make things up. But at the same time, do some of the things that you have talked about where he still tries to engage the other guys. He might have some sort of mental illness where he's not engaging correctly with other people. But this episode 7 is radically different. What he said to Hannah when they're sitting down on the couch in the hotel hallway, it's inexcusable.
You know what?
Do we need to repeat it? I mean,
because I didn't want to go into it this early, but I'm ready to.
Well, we got to get out of the way because we have stated our position. And I do think that how the guys have ganged up on him over the last number of episodes and yet Bachelor Nation still loving those guys. I still agree with our stance on that the guys are all scumbags. And it's only when one of them gets outed by their girlfriend back home that suddenly Bachelor Nation turns on them. I think we're right on that. But I think that's now separate. Their behavior is a separate conversation that is no longer intertwined with Luke. Because Luke has taken this to a whole new level. It's just to emphasize that point. When he's throwing all this moral shaming on Hannah, and saying a couple of really disgusting things to her. Then at the very end, he throws out a new virtue signaling gold cross around his neck that, of course, makes sure to keep outside of his shirt. So it's just all adds up that this is no longer cute or sad. It's on along the lines of some of the real true pigs we've had on past season.
Smaller thing first. Let's just, we've used this term a lot this season of The Bachelor Masters. Now, virtue signaling is a pejorative the right has given to the left. I want to make that clear, but I want to take that away because I think it's a very clear phrase to use when you're trying to show someone that you are superior or to make other people feel uncomfortable, right?
Well, just like wearing a big fat gold cross outside your blue shirt isn't trying to make people feel uncomfortable.
Right. But virtue signaling, that term came from when, I'll give you the best example that the right uses to make fun of the left. And I'm saying this in the most, cartoony superficial right and cartoony superficial left. When a white person on the left is triggered and gets mad for someone else. Like, you can't talk to gay people that way. And the right person goes, oh, there they go, virtue signaling about how they're better than everyone else. Mm-hmm. So that is how it's meant to be used.
I've heard it from the left on the right because people accuse Trump of virtue signaling during his speeches.
That's called dog whistling. It is like it's signaling something, but virtue signaling, it's meant as a derogatory term, kind of like
Well, I really am using it as a derogatory term.
Well, you are, but I'm just trying to give you the history of it so that we're not, how do I say this? Okay, here, I have a good example for you. Breitbart. Remember Breitbart? They're kind of gone away right now, right? Remember? Mm-hmm. Okay, Breitbart. You know, they do a good job of kind of straddling the line of, it's pretty much op-ed propaganda, but
they you quote yourself or you quote an opinion as your source. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they, to make fun of people on the left, same thing as virtue signaling, they came up with SJW, social justice warrior. Mm-hmm. Now, they're making fun of people because they're saying, oh, look at you, that's what you're all about. Then the left, not knowing that it was meant as a derogatory term, took that, not the left, the cartoony left, the Becca, the Beakas of the world left. you know, the just like vapid, ridiculous center left people said, oh, that's a great term, I'm going to use it, not knowing the history of where it came, why it was invented, how it's meant in a bad way. So we want to make sure to clear that up because we're trying to use it the way you're saying, when someone's trying to signal superiority and make other people feel uncomfortable and make sure that everything that they say comes with that one signifier, whatever mm-hmm. that signifier is, right? So in this case, no matter what, he's coming from a religious standpoint, which is, I just want to clear that up in terms of
context. Wait, so are we on the same page or are we not on the same page? Are we agreeing or are we not agreeing?
I just wanted to clear that up, but now let's really go into it. Okay.
So I just wanted to preface by saying, if you want to wear a cross, fine. And Jesus said, you go out and you evangelize and spread the word. And a cross around your neck does that. But there's crosses one wears to remind themselves of their connection with the Savior. And then there's a fat gold chain, uncomfortably large cross, purposely worn outside of your shirt that has a much different meaning.
It's also a fashion choice.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, the gold chain, sure. But the cross just, I mean, he pulled it out after he had already gotten in trouble for his moral shaming. And so it was his way of, like, I think you just said it under your breath. I don't know if you were gripping on to what you said, but you said it's his way of saying that everything he had just done was under the shield of religion, which I don't think people who prescribe to Christianity would necessarily think was using the cross in an appropriate way.
Even though maybe everything is super intentional and everything's meant to be symbolic, I didn't feel that like...
You think it just fell out of his shirt?
I think his shirt had no design on it, so it was okay to have something. It was just a plain blue shirt. So I mean, this is to me going into fashion report, less so than into the hidden... you know, religious undertones.
As somebody who only occasionally wears a necklace, I know that when one wears a necklace, one is aware of that necklace. If somebody has a necklace on every day of their life, then yes, it blends in the background, kind of like a wedding ring. But he didn't have it on. And then he had it on, and it's very heavy and very big, and it just happened to fall out of his shirt. So if you think that's just the shirt being the shirt, then we are...
Like the way we can discuss that better is to go into the two conversations they had, and maybe we can decide from there if the cross was meaningful or not.
Okay.
Because just as like a pulled out scene, I don't really see what you see. I do see what you see, but again, I'm being very empathetic towards Luke because... I think
Bachelor Nation is really writing the book on Luke, so our stances might, like I said, I think all of this was kind of cute and interesting until this week, when now the stakes are a lot higher because of the things he said. I think we need to be careful in who we say we are being empathetic with.
Sure, and this is why I am ready with all my...
All right.
With my thesis statement here.
I won't hold you up then. I'm sorry for getting in the way here. Go ahead.
We'll get back to the cross afterwards. Okay, look. Number one, the reason I think I love having a podcast with you, Craig, is because dissecting fights and dissecting situations is something I wish I could do like in real life all the time. And I do. I always talk about the things we just said to explain other things. I actually am of the a persuasion, and I hope it becomes something where I've had a whiteboard when I'm fighting to like feel out my points, or even a notebook in front of me. And I know this seems like, what's the word, like OCD or something like that.
I'm sure your
like
boyfriends cafe. Really love that.
But I well
I'll
to be
talk
fair
to Mark.
I haven't had
see
a
what
fight.
He thinks of the whiteboard. Didn't Glenn Beck do that? Wasn't that his thing? The Glenn Beck show on Fox News, where you'd have a big whiteboard and he'd do these rambling, incoherent diagrams.
I don't know, because these aren't for me to make my points, for me to make a monologue. These are just for like catching up what the fight is about, because I become very visual when I think about.
When you and Mark are in a fight, it's like fight charades.
That's the way. This is why I've chosen in later years to better to have a notebook. That like I
think you're onto something here. I think everyone could learn something from this. Couples therapists take note.
it's very. If people have told me like it's very type A, and in almost every other way, I'm not a type A person, but I need a brainstorming thing. And you know, if for a long time I was kind of embarrassed to brainstorm, because when you write down problems on paper, it like hurts, you know, it hurts to do it. You don't want to, but it has worked out so much better. I feel so much clearer in my thoughts. So the reason I like this episode, even though it was very similar to the last three or four episodes in terms of Luke says something, it gets mildly misconstrued, mildly. And then everyone confronts him about it. Then he has to go and explain himself. That's seriously been the plot for weeks now. What I love, though, is that we heard the thing that was misconstrued and then he explained it. And if there's no better way to kind of like gauge how much he's lining up with himself, it's here. Now, I'm not doing this to call him out and like make sure every single point he's ever said has been right. But can we do a thing real quick where we listen to the original and then we can cut off the explanation, but I just want to listen to what he said and then you can have some comments, and then we'll, what I wanted to do, and tell me if this is weird. Do you want to listen to the explanation first and then listen to what they were taught the first
you mean with when he's on the couch with Hannah?
Yeah.
There's two couches. There's the couch where he shames Hannah mercilessly. And then there's the second couch where he tries to explain to Hannah that he wasn't shaming her.
Right.
Do you have that?
I have
as
both.
Well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Play in reverse order. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Because I think reverse order kind of helps us unravel. So let me start with him explaining himself at the second part of the episode.
Okay.
I'll be completely honest. I started the conversation the worst way possible. I started speaking on my mind of things I already assumed, and I didn't give you a chance to speak on it first. And I definitely have full trust in you and that you will make the right decisions, because you know right now I am laying my heart on the table. And if you are, let me just tell you this. I don't really want to see or know anything that you do with the other guys, because I don't even like, I'm like staying around, like it's like I'm in a hallway. I don't want to be able to see through that wall. You know what I mean? I'm trying to focus on you and what we have. And I don't want any of that to even cross my mind, because then things like this will happen. And like, this is good that we're having this conversation, because I really appreciate the way you're going about this. Because let me just tell you this. I am never going to control you. I will never tell you what you can and can't do with your body. But let me get into things I brought up about, you know, if I'm with you, and I guess
we really got to listen to this whole thing.
If you ever made
well,
a mistake or a headed play or something, I was not referring to that.
I wanted to
whatsoever.
Get to this.
I was referring to in the future.
You did say like it felt like a slap in the face.
Okay. I edited that for clarity, obviously, and still not super clear. I edited it for brevity.
That was for brevity. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on. What he said when he says, "I trust you completely to make the right decisions." What is this? 1950? I trust you to make the right decisions. That is the. Sorry, there's no. He has it all wrong. This is it. He's done. He's a pig who doesn't understand. He's not going to control her.
No. Okay.
I want to see you dig him out of this hole here.
He is possessive. Like I said again, he is. In fact, his two problems here is that he never says, Garrett saw you naked. I'm jealous and I want you to validate me again. That's all he needs to really say. But instead, he takes the long, selfish route because he has a deep, deep problem. Now, that's number one, the issue. If he could have just come to her and be like, when I heard that, I was really, really jealous and I can't control it. It hurts me. And also, I need you to tell me that we're okay because I just can't get out of my head. And Garrett is the number one antagonizer to me in the house. And I have a lot of issues. For sure, number one on the list. Number two, and this one kind of, instead of it hitting me with the boyfriend thing, with my ex-boyfriend being a lot like Luke, it hits me in a different way. Luke has had this problem throughout the season. He doesn't have a photographic line-by-line memory. And sometimes he just has this, like, cloud of thoughts that I can tell because I do this too, kind of a general meaning of what a conversation means when he walks away. And I've had to learn not only to be really intentional with my words, but to memorize and really concentrate on what I'm saying instead of just sometimes, like, verbal vomiting. And it changed me as a person to be like that because I'm not that way. I'm not super intentional. I like being kind of flighty with my words in everyday conversation. And then people have turned around, and this is, you know, a long time ago or whatever, have turned around and accused me of having said something I didn't say or I didn't remember saying. And I think there's people that are just very nebulous with their thoughts and have these ideas when they go in, and then they don't get them changed at the moment, but they do eventually. I think that's a side issue with Luke, but the number one issue being that he's too embarrassed. He's too manly and embarrassed to explain himself well to Hannah. And he does it better the second time.
Okay. I get what you're saying about the verbal vomiting. In my view, this isn't a friend that has come into your life and needs a little guidance in how to be social with other people. I've had that. I imagine most people do. I needed that when I was 18 and went out into the world. I needed some toughening up, I guess, of my rhetoric. But we're not watching a show about coming out into the world and learning how to interact with others and wording what your words means. We're watching The Bachelorette of people that applied to be on the show to find true love in a heteronormative setting. And he, verbal vomiting or not, he cannot weasel himself out of saying, I trust you to make the right decisions. If you are this far along in life, I mean, he's what, 24? That's okay. He's not old and mature, but he's not young and stupid either. He should know by now that it's not even saying that. It's thinking that. It's to not know that what you're saying is a problem. That's different than your thoughts are muddied. It is a fundamental thing. I don't envision Peter, if he had a verbal vomit, thinking she has to make the right decisions, but I trust that she's going to make those for herself. I mean, it's a fundamental difference. And this isn't a show about trying to fix people. This is a show about dating. He has given us what he is, and that is not good.
No, and this is what's wrong with this show a lot of the time. This is why people get taken advantage of on this show. Because you have someone like Luke, and you see this every season, someone that has a lot wrong with them. So they're not even at zero. They're at negative 10. But they're trying to get to positive 10, aka be married and, or IE rather. I'm trying to use IE. EX and AKA, right? Be married, have kids. Yes. Find a life partner, someone that'll support you, blah, blah, blah. Find a best friend, you know, that kind of talk. When you're not at zero, and I mean this in a positive way, but Peter for sure is. Peter, Pilot Peter, he is emotionally available. He's in a good place with his career. He's empathetic and he's really cute. Like, you can't go wrong with someone like Peter. But you have to feel a little bit for Luke because his possessiveness, everything he's pulling out is just a manifestation of all his insecurities and what's wrong with his childhood. So can we really quickly play
before you play, I need to retort.
Okay.
It's one thing to be insecurity is a separate thing, I think, than being a misogynist pig and thinking that women need to have permission to make the right decisions.
That's funny you say that, because I think what he was doing was that he had, like, again, he had no idea how to explain that he felt less than. So he pulled out whatever excuse. And in this case, it was trying to shame her. Honestly, trying to shame someone, honestly being misogynistic, I don't know if he is. Because
I can't believe I'm hearing this coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, because I'm not looking for, if someone walked up to me and said, this one line, is it misogynistic, yes or no? I would say yes. But. Because
like
he has shown, to be, okay, maybe he is misogynistic, but I don't think it's coming out here.
Let's go ahead and play the earlier clip.
Okay.
And let's what he thinks.
I'm going to play the earlier clip, but I'm going to preface it, and I'm going to pause it throughout, but I'm going to preface it by saying that he walked in with all these thoughts already in his mind. He just wanted to get out what he wanted to say in that. What he's signaling to me is saying, I'm really, really, really jealous that Garrett saw you naked and that you were with Garrett in a compromised
position. Okay, well, here's an idea. How about you don't say anything?
You can't. Okay. I know what it's like to be a very jealous person. I've totally let that go now. I'm not that way. But when something, or even I'm the kind of person where if the littlest thing goes wrong with something that's pretty good, it does not let go of me until I get it out. Are you that way, Craig?
Not when I'm on national television, no.
You think that, but I think
I can keep my mouth shut.
Okay.
I can go find something else to do than confront the Bachelorette in a hallway about how jealous I am and how she had no right to get naked with another contestant. Yeah, I could have found something else to do.
You're probably right. I think most people would, but I think it takes someone who has something wrong with them to really let it get to them. Now, okay, George Costanza on Seinfeld. What are the little, like, one-word adjectives you would call him?
Neurotic.
Neurotic is my number one, right? He also definitely neurotic. He dwells on things. He doesn't let things... That's what this reminds me of, is him just, like, he can't let it go. He just has to say something. Larry David, like that.
Yeah, too. I know. The big salad. He didn't say, I paid for the big salad, but you gave it to Elaine and I didn't get credit. I mean, that's what you said, but he didn't go on to say, oh, and women are always taking credit for men in this world. And I think.
anything can come out when you have that neurosis. You can act racist. You can act sexist. You can act anything. You can act anything when you have this thing that nags at you.
Speaking of racist, remember that guy from a couple years ago? He was a total racist. He was a guitar player, kind of short dude, blonde hair.
You're not talking about Lee from Rachel's Season?
Yeah, Lee. Yeah, General Lee.
Rachel's Season.
You didn't like him, right?
No.
You didn't defend him?
No.
Okay, so what's different here?
I'm telling you that the difference is that where it comes from, the place that it comes from, he's already shown us what his problems are. And so everything that comes after that is him manifesting that problem that he has.
And generally,
he probably grew up in a racist society and never analyzed his own feelings about race.
I don't get it. I don't see the difference.
The difference is that Luke reaches for misogyny when it's convenient, as opposed to, I'm not saying he doesn't believe it. He could be misogynistic too. He could be sexist. But
so you believe, for whatever reason, that General Lee was actually a racist, but Luke is not actually a misogynist.
I think he could be, but I don't think this is a good example of it. I don't think this is him using misogyny for his own end.
Let's play the clip, because I need to hear how you think this clip is not an example of him actually being a controlling misogynist.
Okay.
It's hard for me to receive, and it's just because I know that your body is a temple. And honestly, like, I'm just thinking of you holding him bareskin, and I'm just thinking in my mind, like.
Okay, pause. He is so jealous. That's what he is. You know, he's saying, I think you need to respect yourself more. But what he's really saying is, I can't stand the thought of you being naked with someone else. It's eating me up inside.
Too effing bad. I don't feel any amount of bad.
Of course, too bad. And I also think that someone like that, and I'm telling you, it worked on me too. He knows Hannah's religious. Maybe he's trying to get her through that angle.
Yeah, and that's another thing I want to get into. I do want to throw some shade onto Hannah. I do think that what you just said is a big part of her keeping him around. Okay.
It really pissed me off. I mean, it really frustrated me.
I had a choice what I wanted to do. And like, I know my heart was in it, and it wasn't in a sexual way. It was in an experience that like I wanted to have for myself.
Right.
Okay. That's exactly what he wanted to hear. Once you hear that, you are like, whew.
Okay, good. Great. He should have just hugged her and gotten up and walked away, but he didn't.
He already started to unroll the carpet. He's already like, I have all this stuff to say about it. And, you know, I'm going to go blah because I'm so jealous. I'm so out of control. I can't think about anything else. I want you to validate me. The worst thing in
this world is getting what you want to hear and then keeping going.
Yes. That's something that he's doing. Young man has not learned yet. He has not learned that.
Kick him off the damn show.
Hopefully he'll watch himself and be like, I need a lot of help. But okay, let's keep going.
Okay.
But still, at the same time, like, I mean, I'm looking for you to meet my family soon. And I felt like it was a slap in the face. But no matter what you do, I'm going to support you. Even if you make a boneheaded mistake and you just do something completely out of your...
So there's him trying to say, oh, phew. I'm so glad because no matter what you do, I'll always love you. But that makes him look even worse. He's already dug himself a hole.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I agree. Know.
Okay, let's just finish the clip.
And something that's wrong. I'm going to do whatever it is to make things right. I'm in this and we're going to work through this together and I'm not worried about it.
So he's relieved, but he says more stuff that's worse.
Yes.
It's bad.
It is.
He has verbal vomit going on. It's
verbal vomit coming from a horrible, dark place.
Yes.
Okay. So great. But, looks awful. Just but, not, he's not anything to be.
He needs like, man. I can't.
Okay. He needs help. I hope.
I hope we meet his family. Here's something I want to say about the whole.
To be fair.
Okay.
I think. We all hope we meet his family. Yes. Okay. Keep him around until we meet his family. Then we can really lay into him. Dean's dad, you're in for some competition.
Yeah. Either he was abandoned. He has those kinds of issues of people that just were never paid attention to. But okay. Remember week two with the whole thing where Hannah wanted to give Luke a massage and then Luke wanted to give Hannah a massage and then Jed walked in on it?
Yes.
She called it being in the massage room.
Yeah.
And then I said something like, oh my God, this is horrible because we're assuming that the Bachelorette is over. She's home watching it either on the phone or next to whoever she chose. And they have to watch this exchange and it's going to hurt that other person.
Yeah.
I feel like this is what Luke's talking about, that you're tarnishing yourself or you're not being pure. And that's a super important thing when you're a jealous, jealous person.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep justifying it as you get older. If you're just born super jealous, when you're very young, and you start dating, you're like, I hope you've never kissed anyone else. I hope we're each other's first kiss. But then, you know, as you get older, you're like, well, you know, maybe we've had sex with other people, but
I want to be the best.
Yeah, I want to be number one. I want to be the one you've only said I love you to, and you've only done this for, whatever the this for is, right? So, and you know, like I said, you justify less and less things to yourself as you get older if you keep being as jealous as you are. So I think for him, and like even the whole purity thing comes from a place where he's trying to say, it was supposed to be me and you from the beginning, despite you being on The Bachelorette, despite you being the lead, The Bachelorette. It's just supposed to be me and you, and this is how we keep it pure. Because he's already said he's had sex with a lot of women. I think he knows she's had sex. So they can't, they don't have that. But what could they have? Oh, they have this beautiful story. So every time he sees her with someone else, he's just like out of his mind.
I agree.
I get that.
When Chris Harrison's talking to Hannah, he goes, who's the best kisser? And she goes, I don't want to answer. But then at the end, she says, Luke. That's definitely, I mean, that, even more so than the massage room scene. If I was ended up with Hannah and we were watching the show back and she said that, I'd be like, uh-oh, really? She says that, is it Peter that their sexual chemistry is a 10 out of 10?
Yeah.
So that's it. Why does she need Luke around? The whole point was that she had this amazing physical chemistry with Luke, right? I mean, did she mean that with Peter it's a 9 out of 10? Because a 10 out of 10, you can't get any more than 10.
I don't know how official any of these ratings are.
Like, we come to the conclusion last week that we can't really trust what Hannah says, but still, you get my point.
Are you serious? If people use numbers to quantify a relationship, you know it's not.
Why does she need a guy that she only argues with? 1,000%.
Like, what do you want?
She only argues with Luke all the time, but she's keeping around for whatever reason, and maybe it's religion, we'll get to that a little bit, but if it's around physical chemistry and she's now found another guy that she's 8-10 out of 10 with, well, then she can cut the other guy.
Actually, what you're saying right now kind of got me thinking about the drag queen thing, how we said last week, go ahead, say what you said about drag queen.
Oh, just that she appropriated the sexy drag queen show and then turned around and said that sex was created for a man and a woman in marriage.
And then at the end, we kind of decided that we're not sure how much she's being talked into things by the producers. And it made me think that the picks she has to make and advancing people she doesn't like, giving roses to people she doesn't like, she's maybe being talked into a lot of things, not just a drag queen thing, not just a, hey, live in the moment, bungee jump naked off of a freezing Disneyland tram thingy, whatever those are called. There's no chemistry at all between her and Mike, but she keeps advancing them and keeps being happy because they're like, look, we need these people to be viable. Like her and Garrett, like, come on, what is that? He has the most punchable face I've ever seen. I thought maybe if he was taken away from the crowd and stops being such a dick to Luke, I would see something better in him, but he's just obnoxious. I really, really have had it with
him. Well, I don't think she's getting talked into Peter. That seems legit.
No, not Peter. No, he's very cute. But what I'm saying is that I feel that she's getting talked into a lot of things, but maybe she's seeing it as letting go and giving into the process.
The producers might be telling her to keep Luke around, but even that isn't supported. In the previews for the next week, Chris Harrison pulls her aside and says, what is it with Luke that, I mean, what's going on here? What do you see in him?
Well, actually,
she says, I think I'm falling in love with him.
They say that at the end of the episode.
Okay. It's not the producers keeping him around. It's her.
No. I'm saying that the chemistry being 10 out of 10. I mean, Peter's a very cute guy. She probably really likes him the way Colton liked Hannah G.
The way it flies like shit.
Yeah. The way, I
like
guess.
A like a flower likes a bee.
Everyone who's second best, you can see the chemistry with them. You can see the chemistry between Becca, Bachelorette Becca, and Blake. They were very cute together. That doesn't mean they're going to be the ones at the end. I think she had a really, Craig as a man.
Cisgendered man, yes.
Cishet, that's what I meant to say. She said, when she first saw Peter, I can see him pushing around a stroller.
Uh-huh.
And then she did almost an identical Hannah G. Colton moment, Skinamax thing, in a religious cultural ceremony, which is what? Now, I think that's very cute. I like Peter a lot, but that's not the sexual chemistry.
I don't know. I think they have sexual chemistry.
They do. But as much as her and Luke, has she ever said, I can see Luke pushing a stroller around?
Now would be a good time to talk about Hannah, if that's where we want to go with this.
Okay.
I think I've laid out my case. You've laid out a number of things. Mm-hmm. But we have to talk about Hannah some more, like we did last week, which is she's keeping him around. She's putting herself in situations to be shamed. Maybe she's had other conversations we haven't seen, but she's only argued with him for the, like, the last month.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to be in that kind of relationship? I'm sorry. It's like she has the power to cut him and she hasn't. So there's something going on here more than just sex. The sexual chemistry they had the first week would not carry on that long. I've had 2 month relationships that have whirlwinded and ended, and we're at 2 months. So it's like, okay, enough is enough. So the only conclusion that I can come to is religion, since he's virtue signaling his religion to her, or at least creating a shield around himself and the things he says, knowing that she identifies as Christian. That's the only conclusion that we can draw, is that that's what this is really about. Like, Peter hasn't virtue signaled that he is a man of the cross, but Luke has. Many and abusive relationships have happened, and yet they still go to church on Sunday. But, you know, many a nice, flourishing, long, happy 50-year marriage have happened, and they go to church on Sunday. So I don't know what the answer is. But that's the only reason she's keeping around at this point.
I don't know. I think kind of the opposite. She's
falling in love with him? Oh, are you kidding me?
No.
Argued. For
yes,
months.
You're
and,
right.
And yet
yeah,
she's falling in love with the fact that he wears a cross around his neck.
No, some people, and again, jealous types, think that arguing are hurdles towards love, because that proves that if you survive the argument, that means your love is that much stronger. I'm telling you what the ideas are. Okay, and this is why I think it's not about religion. Maybe it's a little bit about religion, but let me just lay this out. When you are the lead on one of these shows, you get a good potpourri of men or women, contestants. Some of them are super, super attractive and like just your type. And some of them are personality-wise and career and goals and match you perfectly in that way. You are looking hopefully for a balance of the two. And sometimes you're so lucky that the producers pick someone that is. But when you get someone that is just physically so your type and you're not mature enough to ignore that, which I think is the case here, it's only based on looks. But she's not mature enough for her to say, that was fun and interesting. He's so good looking, but I have to cut him. She's still giddy
around
his
good
looks.
Because she's now 10 out of 10 with another dude. So that has passed. It's about something else now, and that something is religion.
Well, the hurdles, okay, maybe it is religion, but the hurdles of fighting maybe make her feel like they're really getting through to something. If she's saying, no. I'm falling in love with him, well, what else is there to base it on except for the
right.
fight?
Well, then we're really screwed here, because we are following the trials and tribulations of somebody, not Luke, Hannah, who thinks that having fights every time you see someone is the way to a long-lasting, loving relationship.
Do you think the problem is that she's too young? When I was younger, I thought this was a dumb excuse, but now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, there's a reason why people are too young to get married. Do you think she's too young and, you know, hormones raging for Luke?
There's being young and naive on some things. But she handled herself well with Peter. Peter's great. They get along. That's a good... She doesn't seem young in that. No. I don't care if you're 24 or 50. You don't want to have an argument every time you freaking see somebody. It just doesn't make sense. They say pheromones drive a lot of our attraction to somebody in ways that most people don't realize. The pheromones only go so far. And the pheromones have washed off. I'm sorry. They all smell the same now. They've all been showering at the same time in the same places. Something stuck in her head. I want to keep around the religious guy because that's important to me. And I've been conditioned to end up with somebody who, I don't know, is in the same denomination as me or whatever. She's getting peppered with insults and shaming. And it's just, if that's religion, then shame on you, religion. If it's something else, shame on that.
Okay. I don't think you've seen this far back, but not Ben Higgins, but the other Ben, Ben Flagnick, picked the villain, Courtney, who it was all about him wanting to be with a supermodel when he was clearly not on her level. She was only on it to be a bigger supermodel.
Right.
This isn't really the case because it was a, obviously it's a different dynamic when it's The Bachelor picking a woman versus The Bachelorette picking a man. But that was a really difficult season to watch for a lot of reasons, because Courtney did not have, Courtney was strategic and conniving. And at the same time, the women, the other women had kind of the same dynamic where they were very, very jealous of her. Not that she wasn't a bad person, but her them being jealous of her made things even worse. So you're right. Maybe she has something in her head that's like, you have to pick a good Christian boy, and what's better right. than a good looking Christian boy?
Right.
So I don't think you're wrong, but there's no yes and no here. I think she genuinely likes him too. There, you know what? Something she said at the end that was really interesting, mm-hmm. that there's goodness inside of him. And I, if anything, if Luke had grown up with stability and the right kind of love, he would be a great guy, because right now he's only enjoying jealousy and selfishness. And that to him means it equates into some kind of love. I think what she sees is not off. I think she's just, she wants to help him be that little bit better that would make him a perfect man. And we as older people, a little bit older than her, know that that's not possible. You can't fix someone, blah, blah, blah. But mm-hmm. I think that that's what she keeps kind of going back to him, be like, you're so almost perfect, except we keep fighting and you keep being, you, something's very deeply wrong with you. That, and I like that she said that. I think that's 100% right. The rest of my case, Your Honor.
Your case is now arrested. It's just something that popped in my head. Can you remind me where Luke P. is from?
I don't know. We could look it up.
From Gainesville, Georgia.
24, yeah.
Import-export manager.
Right.
Which means he's a spy. You'd even say
good Christian boy. Yeah, it actually says good Christian boy.
He's a good Christian boy, looking at his bio, from Gainesville, who's an import-exporter.
He does George's fake job.
Vandalay Industries. He either import-exports drugs or he import-exports weapons to the Middle East. That doesn't seem very Christian of him. He's not just a good Christian boy. He's a good Southern Christian boy, which is even more... Right.
That there is a dog whistle signal.
Exactly. Hannah's probably mm-hmm. all over that. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we've come to some sort of conclusion. Did you get out everything?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry I was hard on you.
No, it's okay.
EZR. It was just hard to see him say those things to her.
This is the one thing. Okay. If anyone were to ask me what's wrong with America right now, I think our intentions being hidden is a lot of what's wrong. When people say something and they're saying it to play devil's advocate in the moment, or because they really have this secret agenda, but they're trying to play like they are actually this, that hurts a lot of people along the way, including the person saying it, because it destroys trust and community and any kind of social agreement we have when we walk in. Mm-hmm. Gets torn apart. So I think him not realizing that he has deep issues hurts him. The way he says it is like, sounds so bad. Mm-hmm. But he's the kind of person who needs help versus someone else who uses issues like that, or who is misogynistic and tries to cover it up by not being. That's where phrases like, I want you to be my queen, like Mike, those things to me strike me as, that also comes with a you shouldn't see this, you shouldn't be exposed to this kind of ideas that I think are inherently misogynistic. So I don't want to pull out one without pulling out the other. If okay. we're going to like look at the roots.
That makes sense. Well, speaking of not here for the right reasons.
Jed.
Let's talk about Jed.
All right, ready? Let me play this.
She's in it for the wrong reasons. Social media influencer. She's in it for the wrong reasons.
So some of the other podcasts have pointed out that for a person who schemed to be on this show to promote his singing career, he's actually not a very good singer from what we've seen. So I had it in my head that it'd be funny if we did a little competition on here where we played that, which I think is, you know, the best I can do singing. See if I beat Jet. Like, but I guess we can't do straw polls on the podcast. But, you know, if it was an open mic in Nashville, who would you rather hear? Would you rather hear Jed or Craig?
Yeah. How many times did they let him just play music on national TV? And so if people have read the article.
Yeah, from people.com, I can guarantee that 10 out of 10 of our listeners know what's going on with Jed.
Yeah, yeah. But the article says that he was actually at the CMT Festival, so Country Music Television Festival.
Yeah.
And that's where he saw his ex for the first time in a long time.
Mm.
So my question is, was he performing there? Because he's already getting these big gigs. I hate saying that.
who knows? His agent could have gotten him in. And aren't there different tiers of actually getting in?
Right, like, right. He might be playing the post show
or just showing up to some pre-party
Well, I guess the worst part is that he's playing a lot of music on the show. He keeps getting more and more righteous about Luke and about who's real and who's not. Uh-huh. And at this point, it's all this gigantic joke, you know. This is really fourth wall breaking, where he goes to the camera and says, "I can't believe he's still here. I can't, you know, he is so horrible. I can't," you know, all this stuff.
Is this guy arguing with? So when Luke is wearing his bright blue shirt with the virtue signaling dog whistling cross around his neck with this guy in the light blue shirt, is that Jed?
No, that's Garrett. They look very much alike. They both have like faces that go into their body. Like their faces are just like you said, small head. But also kind of this extension of the neck, unlike Luke and Cameron that have a neck that's the same width as your head. I have so much trouble picking these four guys apart. And on top
you make my pumpkin head remarks seem real far away talking about their necks.
I just can't believe he's still so righteous. And like we've been saying, I can't believe Jed's so righteous. Garrett too. Garrett seems like the kind of guy who's going to go on Bachelor in Paradise and be a major douche. No one's going to be interested in him. The whole Jed having a girlfriend and all that has really brought up a lot of the ending that's still a month away. We're still a month away from the finale. And now we know a lot of what's happening. But I do not want to research to confirm. I want this podcast, like we've said before, to be in the moment of it's on TV.
I can honestly say I have no idea how this is going to end. I usually, you know, you stumble across something. And I think you had said in our chat that you kind of accidentally stumbled on something. But I can say I have zero idea of how this is going to end.
Yes, I did stumble on something, but I am still unsure if that's true because of the way this whole Jed thing is shaking things up. I don't know. Okay. Who stays out of the jock mob but Peter and Dustin? Like we've said, Dustin, who got cut along with Dylan. Dustin, I like it. This is what a classy guy does. If anyone's only, again, with a dog whistling, only wanting a bachelor of color because they want one, not because he's a good guy and a great guy. Dustin is your man. He left, and what did he? They said, "What do I think about Luke? I think she must really love him if she's keeping him around." That's what you say. You stay to yourself.
Luke, and you should be writing notes from what he said.
Yeah, there you go. Dustin's a good influence on Luke.
Yeah, and I
a
like
good
Dustin.
Influence on the jock mob.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, Jed's super righteous about it. Dylan, as he left, was righteous about it. It just, it drives me crazy. Even Peter alluded to it. Peter, turns out he's a person of color too.
Right.
Make him.
Yeah. That can, he's Hispanic.
I don't think
right?
it was a twist. He's from LA. I mean, if you're from LA from a few generations back, you're bound to be Hispanic. Like there's no,
was it Peter that also said, crazy makes it fun?
I don't know where you got that quote. I saw you.
I'm pretty sure Peter said that because they were having their dinner after the whole thing. And she goes, I just want you to know I can be crazy. And he's like, oh, it's okay. Crazy makes it fun.
Oh, well, see, he's the
best.
It
was either Peter or Garrett said that. I'm pretty sure it was Peter.
I don't know. Who doesn't love Peter?
Who doesn't love crazy?
Are you taking that to mean, like, I didn't really want to pry into this, but are you taking that to be sexual?
It's hard for crazy to not include the sex, but you can have crazy good sex without a crazy person, but your chances of good sex are probably better with a crazy person, but that doesn't mean that you can't have great sex with a not crazy person.
Okay. Is that why that was a good quote? Like that?
No, I just quoted it because I thought it was an interesting quote. We're talking about Twitter here. I sometimes will do direct quotes on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, for everyone listening, and me, and maybe you, Ezer, we probably all had our crazy person or persons. And I'm sure we all collectively thought about those people when he said that.
I didn't get that at all. I thought he was just saying, it's just something you say to kind of round out the conversation. I don't see what you see, but I think you have another agenda in your mind.
She does what some women do sometimes, which is to call themselves crazy when they're not. Like, she's very far from crazy. Just kind of want to point that out. And every guy listening right now is like, we know crazy.
Craig, now,
yes.
If you're going to talk about signaling misogyny, is that misogynistic that men think that about women? And they do randomly.
I don't know, because there are crazy people, both men and women. But I think when men think of crazy women, the word is crazy. But when women think of crazy men, the word is pig, asshole.
Complicated.
Yeah. And I've been called complicated, as I've mentioned a number of times this podcast. So I'm not letting myself off the hook here. I wouldn't call it misogynist because I think A, it goes both ways, but also it's describing a set of behaviors that those are valid things to talk about.
Yeah, but the fact when men call women crazy, it becomes a catch-all for so many different kinds
of... Well, sure, yeah. A woman breaks up or wrongs a man, they're crazy. And if a man breaks up or wrongs a woman, then they're asshole, complicated douchebags. Emotions are high, and those are probably both wrong.
But that's not saying
that there aren't crazy people.
I think there's an outdated, I think I'm talking about an outdated time where women were crazy for anything.
Oh, sure.
In the, like, 90s, the second gen going into third gen feminist movement would be like, you can't call a woman crazy. And I get that. And I'm talking about that more or less, but the fact that it's still used is kind of this leftover, like we say, like signaling misogyny thing.
Well, maybe anyway, I should introduce you to a couple people.
I don't disbelieve you, but at the same time, if you're going to go into a relationship with someone who you see that way,
it's all about sex.
Clues.
It's all about sex.
There's always clues, though. Do not even, whenever someone says, we stopped dating, she was crazy. I'm like, she was crazy. Why did you look for someone
That's the thing. I'm not trying to pretend it's anything more than sex. It is about sex. You're at a period of your life where you want good sex, and the odds of having that are better with somebody who is crazy than not crazy.
Okay. The problem is that there's this agreement that there's going to be this interchange of whatever. You'll take care of me. We're going to have crazy sex, like you're saying, blah, blah, blah. Problem is that when a man dismisses a woman after they've broken up, and this is a problem from the 90s, I don't think this is as true anymore, and says, ugh, to his friends, she was crazy.
Uh-huh.
That is a huge, the man.
Yeah, I never spread any sort of rumors or talked about that to anyone. You know, I never like reached out to anyone that she knew or anything like that, or and said she's crazy. I just went on my way. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. But I guess I've heard it said in ways that are just meant to dismiss and not take any responsibility on right. the man's end for what led that person there. I've been right. called crazy by people like Luke, by people that act like Luke, who are very selfish, have a lot of issues, right.
I see what you're saying. Or if you're not willing to identify your own faults, then you have no right to call someone else crazy.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to, you know, die on that hill because I think it's outdated. This doesn't really happen anymore, but I think it's worth mentioning if we're going to say that's how the term's been updated.
Fair. Well, this all started because I think I was saying that Hannah is not crazy, even though she's self-described as sometimes being crazy, which I think is
because
not true.
Because now it means something cute, just like she calls herself a bitch. Yeah. Like, that means a cutesy little thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, she did that a couple times this episode.
Sometimes, and you're just like, okay, well, maybe you think, you know, maybe that's a very cute thing for you to say. But if you were actually some kind of a raging B-word, like she says, someone who actually would get called that in a negative way would not describe themselves.
Right.
So anyway, it's just, it's the new way of like a taking away meaning from something, putting in meaning to something. Okay,
all right,
we're done. Luke needs to stop engaging. I'm just walking, close the door, no more talking to anyone else. But he keeps talking to them, and it makes me sad. That's the part. It hurts that he would keep talking to these idiots.
Okay, how about we do the fashion roundup to lighten the mood here?
All right.
This week, Bachelor Masters is brought to you by Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips. Gender neutral, gently critical, and guaranteed to draw attention to the relative complexion of your exposed skin and the ability of garments to flatter or humiliate your particular body type.
Going somewhere? Well, you're going to have to wear clothes, dummy.
And that's why you need Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips, proud sponsor of Bachelor Masters. You don't need to look ridiculous anymore.
Aww. Thanks, Chris.
Chris.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got a couple things on the fashion front. The first is, as somebody who wears collarless shirts all the time, Luke, God, I can't believe I'm bringing him up again. Luke was wearing a sort of medium blue, like a medium colored blue collarless shirt that he had buttoned all the way up. It wasn't rounded, it was square across the top. But then he was wearing his jean jacket over that. Bad look. I mean, if you're wearing a jean jacket or any kind of jacket open like that, you got to either unbutton a couple or wear a V-neck. It was very odd to have this jacket coming down around your sides and then a square top. Made it all look very awkward.
I have a problem with blue on blue, especially different kinds of blue, especially. There's some colors you can wear together that are similar, but jean with anything blue always bothers me.
Totally. Back in the day, especially, you know, we used to wear blue jeans with blue shirts, blue jackets. Yeah, exactly.
There's not something cool, very, Luke. Like, childish, too, about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought Hannah's green dress at the end was okay.
I thought that was cool. Yeah, see, she's, something about her, because I don't think they don't have a new fashion stylist, but she must be picking these awesome things. Now, Craig.
Yes.
I don't want us to get bogged down in the same crap everyone else is talking about, but do you want to say anything about this salmon jacket that I honestly don't even care?
No, I have nothing to say about it.
And I think now that Dylan's gone, because it seems like a Dylan-y thing, I'm sure it was his. He probably took it with him. So we won't have to look at it.
Think so you about think other people were borrowing it and passing it around?
Yes. Oh, okay. It feels like that. I mean, I have no answers at all, but it feels like a Dylan thing, and now he's gone. Kick. He does remind me of, like, you know that show that's a cartoon about all the sidekicks? It's called Teen Titans Go. Now, that's Dylan. He's, like, barely a sidekick. Like, he's just, he has no leading man potential ever.
That's a good take. I do like Hannah's French braid. I'm kind of a sucker for French braids over the years. I like French braids. So when she comes in, it's when she is hearing it from Luke again. She's wearing like that white turtleneck with the French braid. Good look.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It looks kind of I think she said something like fairy tale-y. It does seem like that to me. You know what? I noticed this at the end. So at the end, Jed gets another song.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler, the big floppy-haired football player guy, he has what's a very now look. It's very Miami. You know, it's loafers with no socks, very skinny, skinny pants that are too short. With like, I think it's all white. If it was on anyone else, I kind of wouldn't have noticed because it looks very now. But it looks so awkward on him because he has such a football player body.
Right.
So I don't know how you feel about the datedness of the fashion.
Well, I actually got a few things to say about Tyler that aren't related to fashion. I don't know if you've picked up on this, but women are going gaga over Tyler.
Yeah, I have, and I'm confused.
I don't get it at all. His face. So we talked about Craigs a lot when they were in Scotland, like rocky formations. Imagine a big boulder made out of granite, like gray boulder that's just sort of sitting on the side of the road. That's what Tyler's face looks like. He looks like a big boulder.
Yeah, with Ari's personality to boot.
All right. Well, what else? Is that it? Do we have any more?
That's it for fashion. I think they're doing I think the guys left are less fashion-y, which isn't as fun, but that's all.
That's it. We've said our piece, and now we wait another week, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, next week's going to be rough on Luke, so I wanted to make sure I prep myself with all the things I liked about him. Not much, right? But at the very least, I said my piece about why he's, to me, not a villain.
You're going to get a whiteboard, and you're going to, on the left side, you're going to write down all the things you like about him so that when you write down all the things you don't like about him next week, you have a log compare.
Pro-con lists work, Craig.
I've seen that Friends episode. Ross writes a pro-con about Rachel and the woman from England.
I don't do it about people. Holy shit.
And then Rachel finds the list.
I do it about making a decision.
Pro for ending the podcast now is that we ended on a good note. People will get bored. So let's do that.
Okay. Bye.
See you next week.